Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning, good morning.
And we're here to make sure your Tuesday keeps rolling and having fun. We got good stuff coming up for you. Going to talk a little entertainment news. We got four tricks to keep to quickly find something you lost.
Yeah.
The secrets to judging how good a restaurant is. Along with some local good stories of the day, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Civic Media Blood Donation Challenge and us at the State Fair. We got all that stuff coming up for you. Let's kick off with a little entertainment news, and the voice of Mario is retiring.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Not the most recent voice, Chris Pratt, who was in the digital movie and everything. It's Charles Martinet, who has been doing it since Super Mario 64 game back in 1996.
Awesome.
He also did the voice of Luigi, Wario, and a couple other characters. Charles has passed over for was passed over for Pratt in the Super Mario Brothers movie, but he did play Mario and Luigi's dad.
Okay.
That's cool that they brought him on for that. I think they probably should have given the voice to him over Chris Pratt, but we know how these things work. You know, big, you know, Hollywood name and everything. You're going to hopefully bring more people, moms and dads. Little kids don't care who's doing the voice. Which is what
they
it should
care that he looks right.
If you know, studios were actually doing things creatively, you would have Charles doing it because you wouldn't care about, you know, necessarily how many your kids are going to come no matter what. They're doing. They cast Chris Pratt to bring mom and dad, and that's, you know, not what the movie's really about, and creatively really what it should be about. But I digress. Nintendo says Charles is moving into the newly created role of Mario Ambassador, where he'll quote continue to travel the world, sharing the joy of Mario and interacting with you all.
Okay.
Charles said, quote, my new adventure begins. You all are number one in my heart, and he's very excited about this. We don't get to talk about voice actors. We never get to talk about voice actors.
Not as much. Not unless they're also screen actors.
Yeah, yeah. I love being able to bring attention to some of the best actors in the world have been voice actors. Look at Frank Oz, for God's sake. look at what Frank Oz has done in his career, what he did in his career, compared to, you know, 90% of actors that we all know the name of. It's one of those industries that I have such a love for and enjoy. So I happen wishing Charles a happy sort of retirement here.
Ambassadorship.
Nice. Ken Jennings will take over from Mayim Bialik as the host of the second season of Celebrity Jeopardy. Mayim can't participate because of the actors and writers' strikes. And speaking of, a showrunner says the show will return with fresh material that was completed before the writers went on strike.
Okay.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of that going on right now. Celebrity Jeopardy premieres Wednesday, September 27th at 7 on ABC. No word who the celebrity contestants will be. I do want to talk about this just for a second, though, because there's a lot of this going on right now where but producers have been doing a lot of this. But it's also some actors and some of the Writers Guild that have been allowing some independent films to be filmed and worked on. I know Rebel Wilson was a part of one of those that has stopped. That was being done out of a gentleman's almost agreement out of good faith. That the producers would come around eventually and be like, well, wait a minute. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the entertainment. It's about the people. But as we all know, like Olmeyer said, all your answers come back to money. And for some reason, people who are filthy rich cannot stop wanting to be more filthy rich. There's never enough for that certain personality types.
It's almost a sickness.
So you're gonna continue to see a pushback on this. It's gonna be the game of chicken is getting right towards the end here, and I'm telling you,
there's only so much material that was already finished before they went on strike. They're gonna run out.
And I'm telling you this right now. And you can go ahead. All of our stuff's podcasted. You can play this back and rub it in my face if you want. Being inside on this story, I will tell you, we are not going to budge. We are not going to be the first to, you know, pull this game of chicken. They cannot win this game. There is no way, and they know they can't win it. They understand it, but they are so when they're fat and healthy and on money, on entertainment. Why should they care? They don't have a reason to care. And if audiences aren't going to, you know, push back on this, if they, well, my new TV show's on around this fall, I'm just going to go ahead and watch reality TV. We could see a crux here with all of this. But
But there's so many people that hate and despise reality TV.
Yeah. See, this is why I feel very confident. Part of the reason why I feel very confident that we are not going to budge on that. We're not going to be the first one to draw a budge on this. They can't win this one, and they know it. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
And I wanted to touch on this great event that we are a part of today, the Central Wisconsin State Fair. That is where we wrap up our entertainment section for today. Melissa's going to be down at the fair. You're going to have a good time.
I am.
Yeah, you're ready to have a good time down there, aren't you, Melissa?
I am. I'm going to be there from 2 to 5 today, so you have to stop down and see me at the Civic Media booth. Say you heard about us being there on WFHR or WIRI, and I get to give you a shirt.
It's so cool. We're excited about this. That shirt is part of our new brand rollout for WIRI. Same station, just a different logo. Updated logo, current logo. We're very excited about.
Shout out. Still has the chicken.
Yeah, yeah. And we got more about that chicken coming up, too, everybody. So be on the lookout for that. Very excited about this. Stop by the booth, say hi. And, of course, right next to that, we'll have the Truth Booth down there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Looking to get to know you a little bit more? Go ahead and stop by
there.
Share
your story.
Let us
know. Tell us about yourself.
Mm-hmm. As we're going to go to break here, let's go ahead and take a phone call before we do.
Good. All right.
Okay, Melissa, when you're at the county fair, what's your go-to food?
What's my go-to food?
Yeah.
It's a toss-up between the mini donuts and the gyros.
Cool. Good choices.
That gyro stand underneath the grandstand there at Marshfield. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah.
They're good?
Gyro stand there.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Oh. That's what I'm hitting up today, then.
And then you got to drive. Well, you get the mini donuts. They're called mouth beers. So they're really good.
What's your go-to, sir?
Well, everybody's got to go get a foot long corn dog.
Yeah,
that's just a staple at Marshfield.
I'm pretty sure it's in the state bylaws. Yeah, you have to have a corn dog at the fair. You have to. Yeah.
But otherwise, I'm going to hopefully get there on Saturday and be able to indulge in some fair food and
awesome
entertainment and be able to enjoy the fair. It's been a couple of years since I've been over there, so I got to get my butt over there and get there. So
good to hear.
Yeah,
good to hear.
Sure.
We'll see you there, sir.
I'll have to try out the corn dog tomorrow, maybe, since the gyro's already on my list for today.
Yes, I mean gyro stand underneath the grandstand.
Underneath the grandstand. Okay, I'll look for that one.
Good note.
All right, guys.
You have a great morning.
Thanks for calling.
You guys have a great day. Yeah, bye-bye.
You. Appreciate you. Best listeners in radio. Appreciate it. That's a good one. Go on down and enjoy the Central Wisconsin State Fair. It's kicking off today. Everybody have fun, enjoy, and find out more at centralwisconsinstatefair.com. All one word, centralwisconsinstatefair.com. Buy local, support local, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take a break. We're going to come back with and help you find whatever you're missing.
Oh, good.
Finally.
Thank you.
Finally. I can't find where
my
keys are.
It's about time.
Where are my keys? Well, I'm going to go ahead and look during the commercial break. We'll be back with more.
Good punch.
And mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. Hope you're having a good start to your Tuesday out there. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Got to get into this one, Melissa. We're going to help you find your keys. We are going to help you find whatever it is you're missing.
Oh, good.
So how often is this one of the most universal things that every human being can relate to, losing something or missing something that you just had?
It's
got to be in the top five most universal things that every human being, rich, poor, man, woman, whatever, can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
So here are four tricks to quickly find things you've lost, whether it's your phone, keys, remote, headphones, your sanity, whatever it might be. Okay, we might not be able to help you with the latter part, but we'll try to deal with the other things. With material objects, we might be able to help you find. And I want everybody to know right away, because I haven't read this, but just looking at number one, this might be a little frustrating. This might be, because I don't know if we're going to get any new information from this necessarily.
Okay.
Check the spots where you've lost it before.
Yeah.
If you're missing your phone, usually by the sink, it's your is your remote usually on the mantle? Look there first, where you usually put these things. That can also, oftentimes that can be a real helper of avoiding it happening again. I know my dad growing up had the remote spot, and it was always there in that spot, just because he would lose it in the couch or something like that.
Mm-hmm. A place for everything and everything in its place.
Mm-hmm. Retrace your steps. Think back all the long, long time ago to when you lost that item, you know, 5 minutes ago. think back to when you had the item in your hand most recently and try to retrace your steps to do that to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever do this and you really can't remember what happened 5-10 minutes ago? You can remember
sometimes,
like something that happened to you when you were seven, but you know that pops in your brain. But for the love of God, you cannot seem to figure out where you were 5-10 minutes ago.
It's amazing how, you know, when you're doing something just like without thinking, you're going about your day, and then all of a sudden, like, what was I doing 10 minutes ago?
Couldn't find my phone the other day, and while I was looking for it, I have no idea why, but like some rare 80s pop song popped in my head. Not one that I've heard in the bumpers here or anything like that. It pops in my head, and I've got it in my head, and I'm straight, like, oh, I gotta mark that down. I want to listen to that song. I haven't listened to it in a long time, and I wanted my phone so that I could pull up the song, and I could not find my phone. I could. So
oops.
Not only do I have this song like an earworm in my head playing just the refrain playing over and over, but I can't find my phone to get it out of my head.
Yeah, because they say if you listen to the song from beginning to end, that'll help, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't always work.
Mm-mm, no. Look in all the seating areas. Places where you sit are magnets for your items. Yeah.
If you have pockets, but also yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a strong point, though.
Mm-hmm.
Look in the couch cushions, behind throw pillows or side tables and under couches and chairs. I was missing something the other day, and I couldn't find it. And I go searching, can't find it. Half an hour goes by, 20 minutes, whatever it was, couldn't find it. It might have been 5 minutes, but it felt like a half an hour. And I'm at that point where, and again, another relatable feeling, where you've given up. You're just done. You're exhausted. You're like, it'll show up, or hopefully it'll show up, or something like that. And I gave myself about 5 minutes to do that. I think I went and brushed my teeth or something. I come back into the room and I'm like, well, I'll try one, but there's no way it could be here. But I'll check here just in case. And sure enough, under my bed, there was a bar. There's a bar that I don't even remember seeing before. And somehow, when I threw this item under my bed, it had nudged right under between the mattress and this bar.
Oh, there it is.
Like, if I was trying to put it there, I couldn't have done it. But somehow, with my big goofy hands, I magically put it there and could not find that item for a good 20 minutes, half an hour, whatever it was. If you think it can't be there, look there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Change the lighting.
Hmm.
Now, this one, I've never heard this one before. This actually might be helpful. Sometimes when you change how a room looks, it helps you search with fresh eyes. Plus, this also helps because you might have left something in the shadows.
Yeah. Well, obviously, if you can't find something, turn the light on.
It does seem pretty obvious. It does seem pretty obvious. But
change the lighting. Wait. So if the lights were on, should you shut them off and look?
Actually, why not? You know, give it a try. What's the harm? I might as well give it a shot, right?
I guess.
Have you heard of the doorway effect?
Yes.
Okay. For those that don't know, it might also be referred to as like location effect or that kind of thing. It's a known psychological event where a person's short-term memory declines when passing through a doorway, moving from one location to another, when it would not if they had remained in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
Our brains are, they memorize, they're a simple memory. They while they are amazing supercomputer, the most amazing supercomputer in the universe, we're walking around with every day between our ears. That being said, it can only do so much. It can only process so much, and we tend to I have to remember this. This is important for a test. This is important for the play or whatever. That stuff we're a little more focused on, but we don't walk into every room and say, "I got to remember every item. I got to remember where everything is." So we walk into a room and our brain just kind of maps it out and has that in our register right back there. But it's not detailed like I've got three microphones in this room and one of them has a mouthpiece and the others don't, those kind of things. So when we're walking into a room specifically to find an item, we oftentimes, as soon as we go through that doorway, we'll forget about said item. And so when we're looking around,
what you were looking for,
our brain is just looking at the map that we had before for things. It's kind of fascinating when you think about it, I think. As complex and amazing as the human brain is, and man, they are amazing. We do not appreciate our brains nearly enough. It's kind of fascinating how simple like these kind of things, like just the simplest of things can do that.
Mm-hmm. But then you walk back through the door you came in, and most of the time, at least for me, I'll remember what it is I went in there for.
Yeah, that tends to work for me too.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into this one, Melissa. The secrets to judging how good a restaurant is.
Ah, yes.
And side note, hope you guys find your items. Hope anybody.
Yes, good luck.
We had a caller email us right away. I'm missing something. They didn't tell us what they're missing. Hopefully they found it.
Hopefully it turned up.
Yeah.
One of these clues helped you.
Mm-hmm. There's a list online where people share their tried and true methods for accurately judging a new place. And there are some interesting techniques. We're going to go over a couple of them with you. And we're always looking for your techniques, 424-2600. The menu. It can't be too big, and it definitely can't be sticky.
yeah, that's kind of a big one.
Yeah. Also, some believe they should have a physical menu, even if it's a sheet of paper, or just a QR code that you have to read on your phone.
Yeah. Okay, so the QR code, I'm not a huge fan of. I understand why it's starting to be used more commonly, but I don't like looking through my phone at menus, because I like to compare items. And you can't really do that on a phone.
When I'm eating, I really, really try, and I'm not perfect at this, but especially if I'm at a restaurant or something like that, I don't go out by myself, so I'm always with somebody. And if I'm with somebody, the phone's facing down. The phone, every once in a while, I have it tilted on the side, just, you know, because of work-related things. We don't really punch out at this job. It's a 24/7 job. So, you know, I have to keep an eye on those kind of things. But otherwise, I'm checked out of the phone. And I have it put down. So I don't want the QR code menu for that matter. And also, I'm just old school. Like I like having it in my hand. I like being able to see this. To me, and this isn't to each their own, and everybody does things differently. And I'm not saying that it's impossible to have a good restaurant and a bad menu. But for my money, pretty much everywhere I've ever gone that's a good place has a decent menu. It may not make a lot of logical sense, but it certainly seems to be the way. I'll say this. I've been to plenty of places that give you a sticky menu or whatever. They ain't around anymore. Those places are not in business anymore.
Mm-hmm. Well, in places that have a giant menu, you can almost guarantee that a lot of those foods are frozen. Because how else could they make all that food?
Right, right. Good point.
At as somebody orders it.
That's a good side note. The service. People look for servers who care. They have helpful recommendations. Do they note who ordered what? So there isn't an awkward auction when the food arrives and people have to raise their hands for their food. Do they do quality control checks to make sure everything is all right? Others say an immediate red flag is if the place is severely understaffed.
I give a caveat here of... that's a problem everywhere right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not just because, it's not because people don't want to work. It's because people want to work a job that pays a living wage.
Yeah.
And for the amount of money that you need to pay at a restaurant to allow the employees to get a living wage, you know, I mean, there's a lot of give and take here that is being brought to the focus that needs to be talked about.
The two laziest arguments in the universe to me are whataboutism and, well, in my day, Well, when I was growing up, like I've been working since I was 12 years old. I've worked jobs for pennies. I've worked jobs getting a decent paycheck, worked minimum wage. I also understand that when I was doing this was a very different world than the world we're in today.
Yeah. Not only in 1960, the cost of a house was, you know, less than $12,000.
Right. Yeah. The same people that say these statements also have a brain and have been alive long enough to understand the same logical, you know, come to the same logical conclusion that you and I have. I firmly believe that it has nothing to do with anything like that. It is about a little bit of classism, a little bit of that. I think it's a little of that. I think it's a little bit, too, of, well, I didn't have it easy. Why should they? This like almost childlike like attitude towards fellow adults, where well, and you know what? I'm taking my ball and I'm going home. Like that's what it's turned into. This argument started in a logical place back when we were kids, because we've been having this discussion since Melissa and I were children. Everybody about minimum wage.
Yeah,
because
the minimum
things.
Wage has not changed since we were children, James.
That is just insane. Like I just came close to swearing like three different swear words, and one of them was Italian right there, because that I cannot wrap my brain around that. We all the price of gum has gone up, let alone every single other item in the world. Why would the pay go? Why would pay stay the same? That doesn't make any logical sense.
No, there's it's been $7.25 per hour in Wisconsin since 2008.
And you've got politicians like talking about, well, if we have a flat tax, then people want to move here. If we do this, people want to move here. How about if you pay people? How about you take care of the people that are actually here? Let's focus on that first before you start worrying about bringing outsiders and everybody else in, as I say, as an outsider. but
well,
seriously,
you have been here for some time.
Well, but in all seriousness, though, people will give you the answers to where they really stand if you listen to them. You don't have to ask some gotcha question or anything like that. You put to them the stats and the facts of this, everything Melissa and I just said, and if they come back with, well, it's this, or well, it's that, you know where they stand. They don't care about you, period.
Nope.
They just don't give a dang. They're happy. They got a good life. They got a house. They're getting a good paycheck. So they don't care about
you. They got health care.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it comes down to. So that to me is not a red flag. That to me is okay, I got to have some patience here.
It's a red flag to our society, but it is.
Yeah, nicely said.
Right now, I wouldn't take that as a, judging a restaurant.
It does make me, though, go in and think, okay, got to have a little more patience. Got to have a little more, you know.
And, you know, a lot of places have it right on their front door as you walk in. Mm. We're currently understaffed. Please be patient.
Yeah.
And they're just upfront about it, which I admire.
Yes, me too. Looking at these secrets to judging a good restaurant, next is the cooking.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Some people say they like to order simple things at first to make sure the place can nail the basics, but others intentionally order something hard to see if the place has chefs, cooks, or just a microwave operator.
Well, if they have it on their menu, they should be able to make it.
Mm-hmm. this is where I think this whole article gets really interesting. One person says they always order their eggs over medium because it's basically impossible to do perfectly. They don't complain if it ends up too runny or too hard, but they can tell how skilled the cook is.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool. I never thought of that. That's kind of interesting to me. Hmm.
Eggs are one of those things that require attention to get them to just the right the way that you ordered them.
Yeah. I've thought about that making eggs myself, but I never thought about that, you know, at a restaurant before. I think that was kind of interesting. How about the clientele? Some say they like to look around to see if it looks like the place has regulars, but they can be good and bad. If they only have regulars, it might just be locals or friends of the staff or that kind of thing.
Hmm. Yeah, so, I don't know if that's a good judge.
I don't know how good of a judge that is.
And like you're going to be able to tell.
Right. Yeah. Especially a lot of this.
She's doing a poll walking around. Are you from here? How's the food?
Hi. I was just wondering, have you been, how many times have you eaten at this restaurant? Okay. Go away. Yes. Okay. All right. I'll go away now. The cleanliness is where we wrap up. Some people look at the windows and chair rails to see how clean they are, or check and see if the plants are dusty. The bathrooms should also be clean and stocked. And some weirdos even peek in the trash areas. And by weirdos, I'm not really judging you. I just, it's part of the, I was Ron Burgundying that. That's in the article.
It was in the article. If the floors are sticky, that kind of, I'm not, you know, that makes me...
So I have a little grace with this because of what, you know, CC, the previous conversation about being understaffed. But I got a line in the sand, and it's the bathrooms. The bathrooms you got to keep up on the bathrooms. Understaffed or not, those got to be clean. Obviously, utensils, glasses you're drinking out of.
Right. Your tabletop.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm not walking around and, you know, doing the whole
white glove check.
Yeah. 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 I don't know. I'm not am I eating off of the floor? No. So I'm not worrying as much about that. I understand germs fly and all those things. But if you're.
Yeah, but that's one thing we've always heard. You know, is the place clean? Then you can assume that they're clean in the kitchen as well, which is where you're more concerned about it.
And if you're eating out, you know what you're walking into.
You're taking a risk.
Yeah, you're walking into the universe here. You know, I mean, anything can happen. That's just the way
it
works.
Just don't kiss a turtle and maybe you'll be okay.
Stop kissing turtles, people. Stop it. More great news from Melissa coming up. Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. Sarah McLachlan playing us in.
Come out at night. That's when the energy comes and the dark side's light. And the vampires roll.
The way she sings Roll, I have to hear that every time. God, I love her voice. Such an amazing songwriter. And a good songwriter, a human songwriter, much better than AI.
Yes.
And that is where we're going to go here next, Melissa. But first, before we get into that, Mel, would you have a life coach? No cost, completely free. You could have a life coach. Would you do it?
Yep.
Okay. I think I would, too. Only in the simple fact of, man, I could use it. I've never thought about this before, to be honest with you. It's one of those few things that my overthinking brain has never thought of, but I've never thought about a life coach or anything like that before. Interestingly, it's nothing to me to think of having a workout a coach or something like that. Like, that makes a lot of sense to me. I think that, but a life coach, I wasn't ever sure of, and I'm definitely not sure about this one. Would you have an AI life coach? Google is now trying to create an AI life coach, and it's not just an idea, it's in the works. They taught it 21 different tasks to help people improve their lives. Things like creative problem solving, helping you plan ahead better, creating budgets and meal plans, and just doing out life advice in general. Two people who have been working on it told the New York Times that Google wants to make it smart enough to give solid answers to, quote, intimate questions about challenges in people's lives. So here is an example they gave. A friend was in your wedding and just invited you to theirs, but it's a destination wedding and you can't afford it. Hey, Google, how do I tell them I can't go? It sounds like the AI life coach could be ready for prime time soon. They're having another AI company testing it out right now. So, I mean, a life coach, I thought that was somebody that helps motivate you, reminds you to eat right and works out and all that stuff. It sounds like more so they're just like, hey, I don't want to solve my problems. Solve them for me. Hey, computer, solve my problems for me because I can't make a decision.
Well, I mean, one definition of a life coach is a type of wellness professional who helps people make progress in their lives in order to attain greater fulfillment. Or someone who can help you identify strengths and weaknesses and overcome obstacles holding you back. So, I mean, they're similar to maybe a therapist, but potentially a little actually giving you advice. But that's the thing. They give you advice. They give you ideas. They don't tell you what to do.
I'm sure that...
And that's the only reason I would have said yes to your initial question is would I have one if I didn't have to pay for it? Sure. Because I don't have to follow their advice.
I think that we, if you're fortunate, we all have a life coach already. It's your best friend.
Yeah, or your parents.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. That's who you would go to with these questions is normally. And I
someone think, you don't have to pay $150 per hour to.
Yeah. There are people out there, I'm sure, that are that genuinely care about others and are doing this kind of work and have a good heart. But the people that I've met that call themselves, quote, life coach are a step away from, like, basically, they did this before there was influencers as a job. Otherwise, they would have done that.
You would definitely want one that's accredited.
Who is the most famous life coach you've ever known? Who are the more famous life coaches in the world today? Most every industry out there, you have heard of somebody who does this particular job or is good at this or what have you. I'm 424-2600. Please call up and tell me who the best life coaches are. Who have you ever even heard about life coaches? No, because it's a hustle. It's a hustle. Hustlers don't give you their real name. Like, I mean, look, to each their own. And if you have a life coach and they're saving you and helping you, more power to you. Again, 424-2600. I would love to hear that because I have never heard from one person. I've known a lot of people, especially some celebrities and some people that got nice bank accounts that have done this and like basically got nothing from it. I genuinely think that you have this already in your life. Now, if you are looking for an accountability buddy and those kind of things, that could be a very good thing, having a life coach or a workout coach or something like that. I think it's a very different thing. But if you're just looking for somebody, basically, I don't know, I don't want to make decisions in my life anymore. You make them for me. You already have that. It's your parents. or a cousin or an uncle or whoever your guardian is or a best friend or something like that.
Or I would go with advice from people on the internet over an AI. Because you can put some of these questions into Google and come up with a lot of different answers, you know, through different websites, through different, blogs or what have you, and find some advice out there. But I don't think I would trust AI. I don't.
No. Yeah, one of the things that has bugged me about this whole conversation, that when it comes to AI, is that we're bringing such a negative tone to AI. As soon as you say the letters now, a groan comes out.
Almost become cringe.
It's created a negative feeling in people when it comes to this. And AI has a good purpose. AI can do some really good things in our society. We're having the same conversation with this that we did with the internet, where, you know, the internet, when it first blows up, we're excited, and then like the very next day, the sky is falling.
The dark side of the internet.
Yes, the end of society as we know it is going to happen because of the internet. That was back in 1999. You know, we have to get better at this in society, of being able to balance, of being able to see the good, the bad, the gray, and everything.
And also taking things slowly. Like, we're diving in, not just feet first, but, like, we're cannonballing into this AI situation where, you know, taking some cautious steps forward would be better. Is AI ready to drive us around in cars yet across the United States? No. Mm-mm. In certain areas and certain places, maybe. Mm-hmm. We've seen, you know, it happen, but are they ready for the wide, wild, wild west? Not quite. Mm-mm. And we've seen AI responses on the internet completely bomb and go dark and say awful things to people. So, no, I don't think they're ready to give therapy, life coaching advice yet.
And look, I won't even charge you anything. If you really are desperate for this, just call, you know, reach out to me and do the opposite of what I suggest. And you'll be fine. You should be all right. You should be okay. You should be.
Or check for local resources. You know, Big Brother, Big Sister is a great opportunity for life coaching. Also, I think even just your local, life, YMCAs, gyms, there's people, churches, whatever you need.
Yeah. I know growing up, there was a family rabbi that was a great asset when it came to these things. Sometimes it is, because I will say this, I think that one of the better parts of therapy and these kind of situations that we're talking about here is having a third person perspective, somebody who doesn't have any emotional stake in the game. That is a very helpful thing to have, I will say that.
Yeah. Or just that friend who always tells it to you straight.
Yep. Yeah, definitely.
The 6-year-old in your life.
Yes.
They won't hold back. Does this look okay? No.
Oh, I wouldn't wear that. I wouldn't. Yeah. Taking a break. Coming back with more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James with you. Going to get into some local good stories of the day in a moment, but for right now, we got to kick it off with a Then A Right story, and this is a doozy. We go to this one here to UPI.com. The owners of a sunflower field in England are pleading with visitors to please stop stripping down to take nude photos in public view.
Oh, wow.
Siblings Sam Wilson and Nettie Patelli, owners of Stroke Fruit Farm on Hailing Island, said that they had to put up signs asking guests to refrain from public nudity after six incidents of naked photo shoots occurred since the sunflower field opened to the public last month, including three incidents in a single day. You imagine you're waiting in line naked to take photos in these sunflowers. That's got to be really it's awkward to stay waiting in line to begin with. Let alone, oh God, I wish these people would hurry up, get the photo already. Come on, that first one was fine. That was fine. You weren't blinking. Just take the photo. Quote, reminder to all: we are a family area, and please keep your clothes on in the sunflowers. We are having an increase of reports of naked photography taking place, and this must not happen during our public sessions, please, the farmer said on a post. The pair said visiting families have complained about the children witnessing indecency of nudity in all this.
Okay. Interesting.
Now, it does seem like the sign did help, and this has slowed down, but I don't know if it's stopped. The site is huge, and there are so many places that people can hide away from, you know, the kind of public from, so they're saying that that's a big part of the reason why this continues to keep happening. And it's just I was looking around. I looked at another article to see, well, is there anything special in particular about this sunflower field, that why this one in particular? And it's just a really beautiful field. Like, there's no, you know, necessarily rhyme or reason.
Sunflower fields are gorgeous. Mm. And we have them around here, and you can go and take pictures. And a lot of people are welcome to do that. I don't think they expected to be nude.
Yeah, keep your clothes on. Also, bugs. I haven't been in a ton of sunflower fields or anything, but I know there's a lot of bugs over there. Nope. No, thank you.
It's funny that this is, you know, a British farm, because they are a little more, I would say, open to nudity in Europe.
Yeah, in Europe it is much more not a big deal.
The topless beaches are very common.
Yeah. So I think there's a little of that, but I don't know. I also love the idea. Like, we've all gotten in our head an image of the old farmer grabbing a broom and shaking away crows or something like that. I love the idea of the same image, but shaking away naked people. You get out of here, you naked people. Get out of here. Get out of here. I thought I put traps down. Man,
okay, but looking at an article about this, there's a picture of the farm, and there's a bathtub in the middle of the field. They may have invited this on themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe. I thought the name of the farm was a little too. So, I mean, I don't know. That's an interesting one. So here's one more for you. We all get spammed with unwanted calls from telemarketers and political campaigns, but it's not common to be spammed with calls from people who are hungry. A new Vietnamese restaurant opened in the UK recently, and they tried to drum up business by passing out flyers. The problem was there was a pretty bad typo. The phone number was misprinted, so instead of calling the Hanoi House restaurant, you reached Gary. Some random guy who just had a baby a few weeks ago.
Oh, no.
It didn't take long for Gary to figure out something was wrong. He says he was flooded with calls from people wanting pork and meatballs and fried noodles and prawn crackers. He figured out who the callers thought they were calling, and then let the restaurant know. They apologized and corrected the number on the flyers. Hopefully they gave him a free meal or something like that.
Oh, yeah. And then how many of those flyers are still circulating, though?
Oh, man.
Poor Gary's going to have to change his phone number.
I'm so, like... If it was a new business starting out in a local business, I wouldn't do it. I'll be honest. But the mischievous part of me, that if it was a franchise or something like that, I would be tempted. Like, depending on how the caller was. If the caller's a jerk, I'm taking their order. I'm taking the road. I'm doing it. I'm being honest here, everybody. I'm not perfect. I have never come on the air and claimed to be a saint. But if it's a local restaurant just starting out or something like that, I would do what Gary did here and everything. But yeah, otherwise, I'm not going to lie. I'd have fun with this one. I can't help myself being honest. Let's get a palate cleanser, Melissa. Let's get some good stories of the day. Great story going on today from 3 to 4. Midday Magazine premieres for the week.
All right.
Welcoming in today's show, Lacey Ayling, Events and Engagement Director with the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce.
Oh, awesome. They've got a lot of exciting things coming up there.
Yeah, Lacey's also always got a bunch of great info for us. We'll talk about what's new in town and coming up. And in part two, we got a very special Midday Magazine. Sorry if I get a little choked up about it. We're going to interview our friends at the Family Center, and we're going to have Sue Sipple on with us. And,
oh, good.
While I don't like thinking of it this way, it may be the last time Sue joins us. As many have heard out there, Sue is retiring from her position at the Family Center. And we're going to get to talk to her a little bit here. Not just being on the board at the Family Center, not just being on the right side of history, like I believe the majority of you out there are when it comes to domestic violence, but what Sue has done for this community is literally unparalleled. And we cannot put into words. We're going to try to find a way to this afternoon. Be sure to join us for that.
Good.
And wanted to make sure to mention as well that Aquatic Bark Dog Days was successful. Heard a lot of good things about how it went yesterday. Shout out to Madison and our friends at the Southwick County Humane Society and to our city of Wisconsin Rapids who hosts this and has this at the Aquatic Center. We got a dog-friendly city and we love it.
Yes, absolutely. So make sure you get those names in for the dog park.
Yeah. Since you set me up there, Melissa, we'll go right to that. We're going to talk more about this tomorrow. But again, the city of Wisconsin Rapids is looking for input on naming its new dog park. You have until September 1st at noon. You can submit it at wirapids.org/dogpark, or you can drop it off in person at the Winter Park Aquatic Center, Wisconsin Rapids Parks and Rec Department, Southwick County Humane Society, McMillan Memorial Library, Bow Wow Meow, or call up 424-2600 and give it to us.
Probably don't go to the Aquatic Center because I think they closed on Sunday.
That's what I thought, too, as soon as I said it. Yeah. Thank you.
But you can drop it by the station.
I've gotten, since we started doing this, Melissa, I've gotten, let me see here, three emails and four different text messages. Where's mine? Why, you know, Mr. Creative over here, Mr. Writer, where's your names for the dog park? Well, I've been waiting. I've got two names with an outlier of a third. Tomorrow on the morning show, you, Seth, and I are going to go over these names and see which one.
Right.
We're going to decide as a family, along with the family of our audience out there, which ones I should submit.
Okay.
So we'll have fun with that tomorrow. Good. And again, go to wirapids.org/dogpark to get in on that. And speaking of dogs, Shoo Us the Love. The Southwick County Humane Society is looking for you to donate gently worn, used, and new shoes. Help us raise funds.
Yeah, these are not for the dogs to chew on in the kennels. These are going for a good cause.
Collecting shoes not only helps support the Humane Society, but they will be reused and given a second life by those in need through Micro Center Prize, a great company working with our Humane Society for this. This has been so successful, they extended it to the end of the month. But as we are wrapping up August here, just another reminder, drop these shoes off here at the station or ever at the Southwick County Humane Society. Wherever you can, we appreciate you doing that, people.
And it helps the pets there at the shelter. And they are full.
And real quick note, tomorrow is Wednesday, which, of course, it's the fourth Wednesday of the month, which means American Heroes Cafe.
Woohoo!
7:30 to 9:30, Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge number 693 hosts this at 430 West Jackson Street. All veterans, military, police, and firefighters are welcome. And appreciate everybody that is a part of that, that volunteers and helps out. Enjoy American Heroes Cafe tomorrow from 7:30 to 9:30 at the wonderful Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge number 693 here in Rapids.
Yes.
And one more time, Melissa, we're at the Central Wisconsin State Fair today.
That's right. I'm excited to be there. I'm going to be there from 2 to 5 today, but I know Jorge and Chris are there all day.
Mm-hmm. Stop on by, say that you heard us talking about this to Melissa or Jorge or anybody at our booth, and just like that, you're going to...
On these radio stations, WFHR or WIRI.
And if you're one of the first 10 people to do that, you get a new, not just a new shirt with the new logo for WIRI
new
on
logo.
It.
Mm-hmm.
That is pretty cool. Stop by, say hi, and check out the Truth Booth while you're there.
Yeah, share your story, vent, tell us how much you like us or how much you hate us. We don't care. We just want to hear from you.
Yeah, this is all there is to me. The way I've always approached radio, there is no good or bad feedback. It is all data. It's all data, and we love hearing from you guys.
Mm-hmm.
You help us do good radio with your feedback.
Absolutely.
And support local radio. Stop by the booth, say hi, and we're looking forward to seeing you down there. And enjoy the Central Wisconsin State Fair, everybody.
It's going to be fun. I'm going to find me a gyro today.
Yeah.
Under the grandstand.
Make sure to stop by, say hi to Melissa, and if she happens to ask you a couple of questions, have fun with it, everybody, because Melissa's really, really good at what she does when it comes to all of this. You're gonna have fun out there. Have not heard from my brother, so I'm still waiting to see if I'm going to be crashing your party over there, not Melissa.
Well, we hope to see you down there.
One more good story of the day, and I really wanted to get this one in. Around 200 kids in Reading, Pennsylvania got new bikes and helmets this month after hitting their reading goals this summer. It's part of a program run by the United Way called Bikes for Books.
Oh, cool.
Our local United Way here does similar things where they have the great, reading challenge.
Great book
and,
giveaway.
Yeah, and stuff like that. It's such a cool thing to talk about United Way, in all of these great areas throughout our country.
Yeah, giving back to our communities.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to our local United Way. Find out more by going to uwswac.org. Melissa, great show.
Yeah, thanks, James. It was fun.
Yeah, you have a great day.
You do.
Have a good one, everybody. We'll meet you back here tomorrow for more morning show on WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.